Welcome to the Addiction Solution Podcast. I'm Michelle Dunbar. Enjoy listening and watching as addiction experts Mark Sheeran and I cover controversial as well as helpful topics on addiction, how to move past it, and other related subjects. As two of the co-founders of the Freedom Model, Mark and I will give you a completely new perspective on the topics that matter to you. We will take to task the Recovery Society's lies and misinformation and replace them with facts, research, and the methods to move on from addiction struggles without 12-step meetings, rehabs, and the shackles of endless recovery. Let's escape the treatment and recovery trap together and learn to be free. Welcome to the truth. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Addiction Solution. I'm Michelle Dunbar.
And I'm Mark Sheeran. And we co-wrote The Freedom Model for Addictions, Escape the Treatment and Recovery Trap with our colleague, Stephen Slate.
I wanted to just remind everybody really quickly that our coaching certification session for the spring starts in early March. And now is a great time to reserve your spot. So go to thefreedommodel.org/certification. Because we are looking for Freedom Model coaches to help people solve their addiction for good without rehab steps or meetings. And that kind of leads into what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So I've been doing a series of shorts and reels talking about, well, the title of it is Recovery is Bullshit. And obviously that tends to get a lot of negative comments and people get really offended by that, but other people find it liberating and truthful. So and support it. So there's these two camps. But one of the common responses is, why do you have to bash one recovery program for another? And what I want to start this whole conversation with is, this is not a recovery program. The Freedom Model is not recovery. We even, right on the title, it says escape the treatment and recovery trap. So there's a massive amount of confusion. And at the root of that confusion is that the bias that people have in their minds is that recovery is a thing and that it is necessary. Right. And because they believe it's necessary, they assume that we are bashing AA and the standard recovery model in support of our recovery model, because that's what they're used to. They're used to these factions of recovery fighting against one another. Like when mat regimens were the new thing, and that was going against the spiritualism of 12 steps. And when rehabs came on the scene in the 80s, it was against AA and NA, which people saw.
Really, they were kind of married.
Yeah, they were always married.
They've always been married.
Yeah, they are.
They feed each other.
They do. It's designed that way.
But all of the recovery movement feeds each other.
That's right. So there's this monolith of recovery, which has an infinite now number of variables and things that, and protocols and medications and mental health aids and all these different theories mixed in about disease. Is it a disorder? Is it a disease? All this stuff. The Freedom Model is none of that. It's not a competing recovery model. What it is a deconstruction model.
Right.
Now, this is really important. This is really, really, really important for people to understand, because if you're watching this and you're thinking, I want to know what this Freedom Model is all about, it's an alternative to recovery. It's not. The whole point of this book, and this is such a wild thing for people, is we dismantle and debunk recovery and all the various things about it. And when that is swept away with facts, what are you left with? You're not left with recovery. You're not left with an alternative to recovery. You're left with yourself making choices. That's at the end, when you sweep everything away, you are left with one thing. You as an individual running your own mind and making choices based on preferences that you've built. It truly is self-analysis will set you free. And so it's not an alternative to recovery. it's a way we wipe out recovery so that you can find the truth for yourself, because you are the answer to your addiction. There is no other answer.
You're the creator of it. So you would be the person to solve it.
That's a great point.
Okay. But I think, so when we post these things, we're not posting them to trigger the people who think that they're having some success. And I want to make that clear. That's going to happen. Okay. Anything we post that remotely looks like it's bashing something that somebody feels is working for them is going to raise their ire, so to speak, right? It's going to make them feel a certain way, and they may feel the need to defend it. But I want to make it clear that we're not posting for you. We're not posting to trigger you. We're posting for the vast majority of people who struggle, because here's the truth about those people. Those people that are thrust into the recovery world, either because they were in legal trouble, maybe because they have an illness like pancreatitis or cirrhosis, maybe because they've had multiple overdoses. Those people that are thrust into that world are told there, this is the only way. You have to be abstinent or jails, institutions, or death. They are told that if you don't work it, it won't work, right? And so ultimately what they learn is, if I can't get it with this simple program, then I'm constitutionally incapable of being honest with myself, and I'm totally screwed. I am doomed. And so you know what happens to those people? And we saw them. We were in recovery world for a long time, for more than a decade. We saw what happens to those people. We didn't close our eyes to them. Those are the people that are at highest risk of overdose and death from all kinds of causes that are related to their substance use, including suicide. Okay? Those are the highest risk population. But the recovery world says, well, they just aren't willing to do what they need to do. They're just bad people.
Yeah, it's moralism cloaked in pseudoscience. It's the same crap that's been going on forever.
So when we post those posts, it is for the 90 to 95% who don't find a solution in your recovery world. It is for those people. And our intentions are good. We want to, the vast majority of people that solve their problem with the freedom, well, the vast majority of people solve their problem on their own. That's what you need to know. That's what the data shows. That's what we tell people. You don't need recovery. You don't even need the freedom model.
Right. Yeah. Usually the people that need the freedom model are the people in being fleeced by the misinformation of recovery, being distracted from themselves, being distracted from the knowledge that there is only one way by which people change and solve their substance use problem. And that is through choice, through them deciding and preferring less use or no use over heavy use. There is no other answer besides that. So when people... So this book, this 470-page book, is all the information you need to debunk all the things. If you're going to meetings, what you need to know is you don't need them.
Nope.
At all. Ever.
Most people solve their problem and never have been to a meeting.
Right. So we know this statistically, but it's underreported. So we reported it. We said, did you know this, that millions of people get over their problem annually with no treatment whatsoever? Then people are going to jump on the bandwagon in the recovery world that they weren't real alcoholics. They weren't real addicts. That's not true. These are people no different than you or the people in the population that are at rehabs and in AA.
They qualified by your standards as having substance use disorder.
So if we have this information, why wouldn't we talk about it? So when I say recovery is bullshit, what I'm saying is legitimately the things that keep you distracted from making a decision and understanding that the only thing you need to do is make a decision, anything that distracts you from that fact is recovery, right? That's what recovery is. It's meetings, it's medications, it's all these things. We debunk the medication, the need for medications. We debunk the brain disease theory. We debunk the disease theory.
Now, I want to just qualify something that you just said before we go too far, and that is medications can be helpful for some detox situations.
No doubt.
We're not saying that that there's no purpose for medications when people need to detox.
Yeah. Anything that we're talking about is outside the realm of detox.
It's beyond the detox. Yeah. Period.
What we're talking about is the need for medication to change your mind for you.
Yeah. Long term to keep you sober, so to speak.
The idea in harm reduction that is no longer harm reduction, the idea that you need medications for the rest of your life because that's the best you're going to do because really you're diseased and broken. You know, that whole argument, that recovery argument is bullshit. Okay. So, and we're talking specifically about things like Suboxone and MAT regimens and things like that. So, when it comes to detox, we're full supporters of detox because it's a science based in reality. It's based in actual physical toxicity that can kill you or make you really miserable. We both experienced it.
Yeah. And so I want to specifically address the population of people who are friends of the freedom model or who aren't, you know, they come on and they kind of play both sides and they say, you know, I understand what you're saying, but why do you have to like bash it? Why do you have to like tear down something that works for millions of people? First of all, your idea of works and my idea of works are two different things because, you know, it's keeping people trapped in an identity of being an addict doesn't sound like it works very well. Staying sober one struggling day at a time because you're fearful of substances and triggers doesn't sound like it works very well.
Especially when you don't need it.
Especially when you don't need it. You know, filling people with misinformation to keep them sober out of fear is not a solution. If I take a medication for a sickness and it doesn't take away my symptoms and cure me, that means it didn't work. Right. Okay. So if you believe that addiction is a disease, so let's go there. If you believe that it's a disorder or a disease and you go to try and get a solution, but it really isn't a solution at all, you're going to be sick forever. You got to keep doing this for the rest of your life. And relapse. I just read an article. I should have pulled it up that reiterated relapse is part of the recovery process. Jeez. And I think that's dangerous. What we're saying is the opposite of dangerous.
Right.
Okay. More people die from overdose because of this relapse is part of recovery.
Ideology.
Yeah. Ideology. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, the biggest risk people have of overdose is right after they leave a treatment program, right? Right after and they're going to meetings. So. When what we are saying needs to be said because it's truth.
Yeah, we're literally a deconstruction model. We're deconstructing mythology. So what exactly are we deconstructing for maybe the freedom model beginner? It all comes down to one idea that is patently false, and that is that you lose control.
Yes.
There's this idea that you lose control and you are compelled to behave and take drugs and or alcohol, right? So then that means logically, if we back up what is the compelling force? What is the thing that compels you beyond your free will? Because that's the disease idea. And it's predicated on loss of control. So we said, geez, that when we really think about this, what are we saying? We're saying that a substance, a physical thing, actually takes over the human mind, not the brain, but the human mind.
And body.
And body. Yeah, brain and body and behavior. But ultimately, that it takes over your thoughts, because you need a thought to take a drug.
Yep.
Right? You have to think about it and say, I want this. And if we believe, if we really believe that people are compelled, then what is the compelling thing? And how would it select its victim? Right? Hmm. Well, now we're getting into very weird ideas, really weird ideas. And everybody that I debate get stumped on this.
They sure do.
They go, well, no, what we're saying is that the brain is affected. I go, okay, but in order for the chemical to get in your brain, you have to choose it, right? Well, yeah, but they have no control. Okay. So let's back up. You're saying that you are compelled to use by some nebulous force called addiction. Tell me what that is. And they go, I don't know. And then they'll jump all over recovery.
Well, no, then the next thing is, well, you're not powerless until you ingest the substance. Well, let's go there then.
Right.
Right? Like, so you take a sip of alcohol. I actually had somebody say, called me and said that used the old, you know, I ate something that had alcohol in it. And I was, all of a sudden I started getting the phenomenon of craving. Right. And I'm like, how did that work? So you ate a dish that had alcohol, which, by the way, when you cook alcohol, it goes away. It may leave the flavor of the wine or the whiskey or whatever in the food, but the alcohol itself is cooked out because alcohol boils just like that. Okay. So explain how that works.
Well, and it's really interesting because they always go, you know, I ingest it and then I can't stop myself. And I say, okay. But your body isn't choosing to take the next drink. You still have to think.
Yes.
So you've just proven my point. You just do it from a different order. And that is, I drink, it's in my body. Therefore, my body is telling my mind that I must drink the next one. So it's just a different order. You're still saying that the nebulous force is coming through your body and then telling your mind to do something. So tell me, how does your body tell your mind to do something beyond your control? That's a weird idea too. So it's never been proven. None of this has been proven true.
And it's actually been shown in multiple studies. Look up priming dose studies. I had somebody ask me, where's your proof? Where's the research? It's all over the place.
It is. And we do it in our masterclass. So if you want to look, go on our website. And what is it called?
It's the Move Past Addiction Masterclass. It's free. It's 1 hour of your time. We cite those studies, not just studies with alcohol. There's a ton with alcohol, but also studies with cocaine, with methamphetamine. Look at it. It's, you're never out of control. Ever. You may feel that way, and we totally get it because we did too at one time. You may feel compelled, but it's all an illusion based on your beliefs about the substance.
You've been taught to see it this way, and that's why you're so horribly confused. That's why we had to spend 27 years looking through the data and coming up with this book. And we collected all the research to show you that what you believe about addiction, the word addiction, we don't even believe addiction exists. Okay. So withdrawal exists. Don't conflate the two. We get that you can poison yourself. We all know that you can poison yourself.
Oh,
we
absolutely.
All know that you can be shit-faced and overdose. We all know that.
Done it.
Yeah. We've lived that. We've been in hospitals. We've done all that stuff. That's not the point, because what sets this entire train moving is a decision to drink and or drug. And that is the point that is horribly confused.
Yes.
And
that's the point where you solve the problem.
That's right. That's right. By debunking all this mythology, it's so wild. It's wonderful when we're coaching people because
God, once for some people, the light bulb goes off and you can see it happen.
Yeah. And where they come back for their second session or their third session, they go, it really is this easy. I go, yeah. Because when you sweep away the religion of recovery
and the religion of the substance itself, because that is a religion too.
Yeah, that's a good point. So there's the other side of it, which is that drugs have all these amazing powers to relieve all kinds of mental and emotional problems, anxiety, depression, all these things, or cause them. And, you know, it goes both ways. One of the things Michelle talked about earlier is, you know, they say everything gets set off by drinking and drugging. And then the treatment center will then say, but you have to hit bottom. So if you have to hit bottom, that means you're using heavily. And so a lot of times, which direction is it? Is it set off by just one sip of alcohol, or do you have to drink a boatload and destroy your life and then you quit?
I know.
You can't have it both ways, folks. So if your argument is that your body changes with use and that you lose control, and then the treatment center says you have to beat the shit out of yourself by using continuously until you hit rock bottom and then you can quit. Well, I thought you just told me that
I wouldn't be able to.
That I wouldn't be able to. I thought just a very sip would set off the thing, but now you're telling me I should drink a case of beer a day until my life is total shit. See, that's the dangerous stuff.
It sure is. I can't even tell you how many times I heard that in meetings too. Well, here's $20. Maybe you should go back and try again.
Yeah. So it's so strange to say that alcohol or drugs have these amazing powers to take over your body and your mind with very little use, that it sets off this train of addiction. And then to say that you have to have addiction at its height in order to stop. That's fucking nuts. And nobody sees this contradiction, but we did. We did. And then we looked at the data. What happens when people really hit it hard? You know what? They stop.
They do.
A lot of those people stop. They stop midstream. They stop when they first start. They stop with heavy, you know, 20, 30 year habits. They just stop. The point is, it doesn't matter. When the person makes the decision to stop, they stop. The only thing holding them back is misinformation saying that addiction is real, that you're compelled. That's what I mean by addiction, that you're compelled, that you can't stop yourself. You sweep that away. And then people go, I think I'm going to stop because I'm just fucking done with this.
You know, what's an interesting thing too is, and I can remember I surrounded myself with very heavy substance users during my heaviest time. And I still would go way beyond them a lot of times. But I wonder how many people, because this is what happened to me. So I was raised in and around the cult of AA. And so I learned some pretty awful stuff, right? I learned that I was born an alcoholic, that there was nothing I could do about it, basically. But if I ever drank or drugged, I'd be an alcoholic. And so when my drinking and drug use got very heavy and I started having blackouts, that to me, my preference started to change quite naturally because I did not like not remembering and being told what I did.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was very unsettling. And unfortunately, though, it also made me believe, oh, you're out of control. You're an alcoholic. You're out of control. And so that's when I started thinking. I started drinking in the mornings because I would be shaking. And I went a whole nother year. I quit the drugs because I thought that was the problem. I quit the drugs. Daily drug use stopped. And I just kept drinking. And I genuinely thought I could not stop drinking until one day it just occurred to me, I don't have to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, it literally, just that thought happened in my mind. Maybe I don't have to do this. Now, I ended up having terrible withdrawal. I was very sick for about 3 to 4 days because I had been drinking for several months, night and day, night and day, night and day, continuously. I was young. I was in my early 20s. But I stopped. I went through the withdrawal. I stayed in bed for a few days. And I didn't go to a meeting until almost a full week later. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a struggle. Not drinking wasn't a struggle. I didn't want to go back to it, even though I was sick. I was done. I had changed my preference. And I wonder how many people get there. I think a lot of people get there. But if they've already gone to treatment, if they've already been exposed to recovery, they start thinking this is going to be a struggle.
Yeah. Once you start to believe that recovery is necessary, that recovery is a thing, just the word recovery is so problematic. The language we use, the battle with addiction.
Yeah.
What does that even mean? Is there a nebulous force that takes over the human mind and free will? That is the core of the argument. And we have proven through the research and through our book and everything that we collected and all our experience working with tens of thousands of people, coaching tens of thousands of people, people have the capacity to just make the decision. If you clear away and deconstruct all the recovery nonsense. And now I use words like nonsense, and I know it can seem offensive, but that's exactly what it is. It is a massive amount of misinformation that distracts you from the truth that you are totally capable and always have been, and you are choosing your habits very, very carefully. It may be mindlessly, but make no mistake, you're very motivated.
Yeah.
To get drunk and high, and for very personal reasons. And you may have many reasons to get high, many of which might have been taught to you from childhood. You don't even realize that, you know, it's implicit in our culture and movies everywhere. You're being bombarded with this idea that you are this fragile person that is at the mercy of substances. And
your environment.
And your environment and your circumstances and tragedies and traumas and all of this. We cover all of this in the book, by the way.
We do.
You know, you connect it all to this sort of addiction lore. And then you need something to battle, to counteract, like a counterweight against all of those forces of evil. And called addiction.
It's exhausting.
And that's why the recovery movement is such an expensive and all-encompassing industry. Because if you can create a straw man that people are genuinely, genuinely terrified of, that also has an active placebo that affects the body so you can point at it, and then you mix in a whole bunch of confusing concepts, my God, can you fleece people for millions of dollars in some cases? It's a massive industry.
In years of their life.
And eventually there's no hope there because you're actually being distracted from the very thing that actually solves the problem in all cases. It doesn't matter if you went to AA, went to treatment, went to therapy, are on MAT regimens, all of it. It all comes down to you're still deciding.
Yep. In every situation.
You're still deciding. Ultimately, if you did not decide on MAT, at meetings, at the rehab, you'd be drunk still. You decide that way. You decide all the time. Question is, how much distraction do you want? Why don't you read the book, deconstruct all the mythology, and then ask yourself, do I still want this in my life? And you may. You may say, I really like getting drunk. It's cool. Fine. So that's what the Freedom Model is. It is not an alternative to recovery. It is the model that deconstructs. It does bash the model. It crushes it. It grinds it all away.
It
so that
renders it obsolete.
It renders it unnecessary. That's what the Freedom Model is. It is, and that's what the title of this is going to be. The Freedom Model is not an alternative to recovery. It's a deconstruction model. And that's what we do.
I just want to throw something out there that people probably don't know and just can maybe leave you with this just food for thought, right? Did you know that the alcohol industry sponsored AA in the early years? The alcohol industry and AA were married in the early years. Think about that for a moment, right? We have the poison, the toxic poison that destroys people, and we have the solution. And we both profit from it.
Yeah. That's the truth. That was through the Rockefeller Institute. So yeah, it's there's so much to this. Now, the good news is we simplify it. Once I read the book.
Yeah.
Listen to the audio book. Decide for yourself.
Look at the citations. We cite everything in here. And I know because Stephen and I spent hours, months, really 2 years, pulling all this research together for you. Okay. And then the one concept that really will help you to understand why you are choosing what you're choosing and that you are in fact choosing is Mark's positive drive principle. Okay. That's chapter 7 in the book. If you read nothing else, read chapter 7.
Yeah. It'll set you free.
It will. Mm-hmm. You're always choosing. So.
All right. So look at, if you want to be a coach, a certified coach, definitely contact us or go to the certification. What is it? What is the link?
It is thefreedommodel.org/certification. And you might be thinking, you know, so you do have a model, a coaching model. It's coaching. It's teaching. We're basically helping you to understand the truth.
Yep.
That will set you free so you can move on.
And if you want to be coached, contact us at 888-424-2626 or info@thefreedommodel.org.
Yeah. And hey, post your comments below. If you have an idea for a topic you want us to talk about, we're happy to do it. If you think you want to come on and be interviewed by us, let us know. You know, who knows? We'll vet you first, probably, to make sure it's a good fit. But yeah, we love to hear from our listeners and watchers. So post it in the comments or contact us at info@thefreedommodel.org.
All right, everybody, take care.
Bye.